When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Welcome back to the podcast today. The Renault Twingo arrives, the Ferrari Elettrica arrives, and Rivian adds Google Gemini. Plus, stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you what wildly high percentage of electric two-wheelers they use in Pakistan that have rather dubious batteries. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast this week. I know I've been really under the weather, just about coming out the other side of it. The occupational hazard of having two small little people who run around the house and bring everything home. So, been under the weather, still feeling terrible, but my voice is getting much better now, so I can catch up with a couple of the bonus shows I've written and not yet recorded. And by the way, if you're on Patreon, I don't like to plug it too much, but it's how I earn a living these days. The Patreon platform gives me 95% of the money that you pledge. They take some for the platform, the processing, the credit card fees and things like that. There's nothing else, whether YouTube or whatever, that gives me that share of the revenue. It's incredible. It really supports creators, and if you get any value out of this, whether you learn something from this podcast or get entertained by it or whatever, have a think about the Patreon platform. $5, $10 a month, be an exec producer. Get your name in the show notes every day. Get your name on the Hall of Fame and join our list of legends. So check out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Quick mention for a new feature I switched on yesterday called Kilowatt Confidential, the Patreon-only chat. Now, Patreon can have a chat feature, multiple chat rooms for different tiers. I'm going to start using those more for when Question of the Week comes back next week. But for today, I can confirm that we've turned on the internal chat room for Patreon only subscribers. So if you're in the Patreon gang, hundreds of people are, come and have a chat. At the minute, I've got one room, which is just generally come and chat with me. It's where I'm hanging out and sharing my thoughts. I'm not on social media anymore, just for mental health reasons, and it just got a complete mess. I might go back to posting on it, but not reading. So if you want to interact, for now, it's paid Patreon subscribers, and I'll open that up to the free tier, because you can be a free Patreon supporter. Cost you nothing, just a registration, and we'll do some stuff with Question of the Week. But for now, I've opened it up. I've called it Kilowatt Confidential, but you know, that's what the chat room is called. Come and say hi and chat over the weekend, and I'd love to hear from you. All right, plug out of the way. It's one of the benefits of being a Patreon subscriber, by the way, if you want to come and chat with the gang. Now, Renault kick us off today. We'll unveil the fourth generation Twingo, called Twingo E-Tech. We get it on 6th of November. Orders opening mid-November, mid-October, I think, if you have an R-Pass. And so that is the Renault Pass. I've done this before. And so if you want to get ahead of the queue by a month or so, you can buy a pass, which gives you a spot in line. People do it. If you're a big Renault fan, I guess I'm always tempted to wait 6 months and see what offers come out. But if you need a new car and you love the new Twingo, and I really do, by the way, this starts at £17,000. Delivery is 2026, but we don't know when. As the early reservation scheme is called Twingo R-Pass, 15th of October, you can get in line, or skip the line, really, I suppose. Four official preview images were published today, which show a rounded, bubble-like silhouette, a semicircular lighting, Renault hasn't given us all the full drivetrain specs, but we know this is on the same platform as the Renault 4 and Renault 5. It's called AMPR, or Ampere Small, from Renault and Ampere, their EV business. And they want an efficiency target of this little car, 6.2 miles per kilowatt hour. I'm so excited by small, efficient EVs. You know this by now. I'm wildly excited by a £17,000 Renault Twingo. Yeah, there are cheaper cars. They're cheap bit of the company, their Romanian bit, Dacia, sell the spring. And you can get that for £10,000 today, by the way. There's a dealer near me in Christchurch. I think they're called Hendy? Virtu? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'll double check if you're interested. In fact, I'll put it on the Patreon exclusive chat, Kilowatt Confidential. I'll pop it in there if anyone's interested. I saw a pre-reg car. So this was registered in March, but it hasn't driven off their lot in 6 months. And so it's done 10 miles, right? It's effectively a new car, but it's not a new registration. It's a pre-reg car. And it's 9995 for a Dacia Spring. All right, battery's under 30 kilowatt hours. It's super stripped down. You could make an argument, should you just buy an Aura Funky Cat that's now 2 or 3 years old, that's got electric seats, heated seats, 360 camera? Because they're £11,000 now, by the way. They've had massive depreciation. You could make that argument. For a brand new car under £10,000, no one reports that news, do they? You know what the newspapers say? Oh, you get a 10 grand brand new EV now. But you can. So I know that this Renault Twingo is going to be more than that. But look, give it time. Let the offers kick in. This little Renault Twingo, if it's anything by the 5 and the 4, which are incredible cars, Renault's on a roll right now. They have a new CEO, Francois Prévost, describes himself as a continuity CEO. And that's an amazing thing to hear, because a lot of CEOs want to make their mark. This guy's like, right, we have a plan. Let's execute the plan. The company says the Twingo will be 50% less to produce than the new C-segment SUV that they're making, through material use changes, software-centric architectures, and a faster scale-up as well. Big headline today, actually. I know that not everyone's going to get this car, especially my US listeners as well, but honestly, the small car market, the under 20 grand, under 15 grand market in Europe is exploding. Do you want to know why? The UK had mandates this year. Europe has mandates this year. Europe is now fighting tooth and nail, especially the Germans, to get rid of the 2035 mandate on pure combustion. Let me tell you, those mandates, absolutely, because you've got to sell a car to get a credit, right? That means you can sell, arguably, some more expensive petrol SUVs, and there's some funky things with the zero emission credits. But they absolutely work at the lower end of the market. We have an explosion of choice under 20K and loads under 17, 18, arguably. And I'm absolutely here for it. I love it. All right, let's move on before I fangirl too much on the Renault Twingo. The Ferrari Elettrica. Yes, there's no C in that. The Italian Elettrica is their Ferrari's first EV. And we got the specs issued yesterday. And as you can imagine, the internet did its thing and said that Ferrari shouldn't be going electric. But yeah, whatever. Four-motor, four-door GT. Arguably the most comfortable Ferrari ever made. This thing's going to be a GT Cruiser. Skateboard platform, four motors, 1,000 horsepower, 2.5 seconds to 62, 200 mile an hour top speed. Battery, big, 122 kilowatt hour. Charging, big, 350 kilowatts on an 800 volt platform. So that range of 323 miles is kind of neither here nor there. It's a Ferrari, but you'll either buy one or you won't. And actually, you won't be able to buy one of these. I can't buy one of these, even if I had won the lottery, because Ferraris these days are a case of, you know, especially with a small run like their first EV, it will be people who have several Ferraris in their garage get invited to buy one of these. That's the way Ferrari works these days. The front axle houses two motors combined with the rear pair, making 1,000 horsepower. Ferrari says all developed in-house. So the motors developed in-house. The battery developed in-house. The cells themselves, though, come from SK Innovation. Elettrica has three energy settings: range, touring, and performance. Five drive modes, from ice to wet to sport, and even everything turned off. ESC, traction control, stability, all off. Cabin sound is generated from a rear axle accelerometer that Ferrari compares to the pickup on an electric guitar. So amplifying the EV motors, the vibrations, the processes, the actual gearing itself. They're not inventing an electric sound and playing it in through speakers. They're amplifying the noise that your car makes. They say, look, if we're going to make a Ferrari EV, have a listen to it. Listen to what... oh, man. How long have I been waiting to hear this? I love the sound of an EV. I love it in the summer here when my windows are down and I can just hear the sound of my car. I don't miss vroom, vroom, putt, putt anymore. Ferrari will do a full reveal early next year, saying it's not a supercar, it's a GT Tourer. What will it cost? Doesn't matter. 500 grand, maybe? Yeah, only Ferrari fans will get invited to buy one anyway and add it to their collection. Now, it appears Rivian is getting rid of Amazon's Alexa and going for Google's Gemini, just as I did recently. I'm glad to see that RJ Scaringe is paying attention to my home automation setup. Yeah, look, I ditched Alexa. I had a screen in every room. I got my first one, the Tower, looked like a big toilet roll, big kitchen roll, years ago. Got in our old house, 7 or 8 years ago, I don't know. And I loved it. Absolutely, it was brilliant. Controlled the house with it. But then more and more recently, I'd come into a room and then the screen would be showing me, hey, do you want to buy this product on Amazon? I'm like, no, I didn't buy a product for now to be sold to. So do one, Bezos. So I've got rid of all of my screens. If I haven't, they're in a box in front of me and I need to eBay them. If anybody wants a box of varying sizes of Amazon screens, you know, I give you mates rates, you know, holy moly. So I've got a couple of Google screens now. We've really pulled back on the screens and now we just have speakers. But now we've got kids and stuff. I'm a bit careful of screens around the house, easily to get addicted to them when you're kiddos. And so Rivian's doing the same. So they're getting rid of the Amazon system. And with Google Gemini, and I use that a lot because I pay for the Google subscription service for 2 terabytes of storage and Gemini as well. It's honestly really, really good. Like all the LLMs now are brilliant. You just talk to them in normal language. So you could probably ask your car, not only about the car itself, turn on the heating, the cooling, the seats, but also about generally where you're going and things like that. CEO RJ Scaringe said they'll add voice to text and reaffirmed no support for Apple. Now, also, Rivian reconfirming their R2. I've mentioned this a couple of times recently, but this is the strongest. Yesterday I saw the news, RJ Scaringe saying he's never been more confident in their future. I guess he has to be the biggest cheerleader. If the CEO can't be the biggest cheerleader, who can, right? Scaringe says the R2 embodies lessons from the R1 and credits highly accurate, precise teams for the progress and the brand resonance. Skeptics say that Rivian's failure after 16 years, like they're not new. They took a long time to find their groove. Then they got backed by Amazon, Volkswagen. They did a proper IPO. Rivian is the real deal. The vehicles are the real deal. Many people are still critical, though, saying that they won't get through to the R2. You know, the $45,000 won't be immediate vehicle, but it'll come in time by the next year, they say. And I think they're going to be fantastic. Next generation Volvo EX40 confirmed to use the SPA3 platform. SPA3 platform is Volvo's thing. So shifting from the CMA platform, co-developed with Geely, to Volvo's BEV-only SPA3. Volvo, interestingly, reading between the lines, have made noises. I think following the glitchy launch of EX30 and the glitchy still launch of EX90, are distancing themselves in the customer's mind from Geely, the mothership. Obviously, they can't distance themselves because they're owned by them, but Volvo, I think in terms of the customer messaging, have actually said, this is not a Geely shared platform. This is Volvo's platform. We'll get it right from now on. I think maybe their customer research probably told them they had to do something like that because EV fans are a little more educated than, you know, early adopters are a little more educated. Most people wouldn't know the platform a car is on. But Volvo have said, look, this is our platform. It's a Volvo. It's coming in 2027. Cell-to-body integration, high voltage, mega casting to give us cost reductions and simplification and, you know, new chemistries as well. So an LFP pack, an NMC pack, and 350 miles plus, you would think, on an EX40 coming in 2027. Pricing, what, 50K in America? I don't know. They haven't said, I'm guessing. Tesla introduced their new standard trims for 3 and Y this week. The Model 3 now uses manually adjustable electric mirrors rather than power mirrors. And people have taken to the internet to point out many of the things wrong with Tesla this week. You won't be surprised to hear the internet had its say, pointing out the Mitsubishi Mirage is a $17,000 vehicle new and has power mirrors. Model 3 doesn't. But the Model Y does keep power adjustable mirrors. But also then covers up the glass screen. Interior on the Model 3 goes to cloth with plastic and cloth inserts. The small rear screen that adjusted the vents and things like that is all gone. Rear seat is only heated. Front seat ventilation and rear seat heating is all gone. No AM/FM radio, no ambient lighting. Battery capacity is reduced, 69.5 kilowatt hours. Peak charging, 225 kilowatts. And again, the internet pointing out, well, actually, let's compare that to 40,000, because it's 39,000 maybe, no, it's almost 40 with fees, right, in destination, saying, well, but what about the new Chevy Bolt that's coming? Well, that's got, you know, almost as much range. It charges at 150 kilowatts, and if you're not road tripping, you know, that is going to have lane centering, for instance, and a degree of autonomy and ADAS, which the Teslas don't. I'm not so bothered about that side of it. The internet very much was up in arms over Tesla not even giving you autopilot. Completely, there's nothing apart from cruise control on the standard range 3 and Y. That's probably just an intentional thing to nudge you towards FSD and $99 a month, isn't it? Let's face it. So it comes with the hardware needed. It's not like they're taking all the cameras out of the cars. And so I'm less worried about that. The internet got very upset about no autopilot. And fair enough. But I think that's just a marketing ploy to get you to see FSD as a worthwhile subscription. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Škoda in Germany and Nissan and the Leaf in Japan. Stick around. Back in a mo.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's talk about BYD sales in Germany surging. Well, they're coming up from nothing, really. They sold last month in September 3,255 cars, which is a 2,225% year-on-year increase. From January to September, BYD sold almost 12,000 cars in Germany. So smooth it out, that's a 600% increase on the first 9 months of this year compared to last year, because they weren't really around last year. Softer sales and a tough market in China have forced the Chinese makers to look overseas, and Germany's one of those markets. BYD is localising production as well, with semi-knockdown kits in Brazil and Uzbekistan. Their European factory in Hungary should come online soon. Škoda in Germany has done really well. They're number two in the market now, overtaking BMW. So number one in Germany is the VW brand itself, with 76,000 BEVs. Škoda, 35,000 BEVs, and BMW, 34,500 BEVs. Then in Germany, it's Audi, Seat Cupra, Mercedes, and Tesla down in eighth now in Germany. Even though the cars are made there, for now, the Germans are not sold so much on Teslas. Some of the industry experts saying that that's a sign of things to come with more Chinese cars coming to Europe. Nissan, though, is launching the new Leaf in Japan, first of all, taking orders from October 17th for the new third-gen Leaf, positioning it as a core model. Like, it's the only thing they sell of any substance. The new Aria has been refreshed in Japan. Aria now off the menu in the US, but being refreshed in Japan. Leaf, though, offers 702 kilometers driving range, 50% more than the second-gen model. 10 to 80, under 35 minutes, they say. There's some good Leaf stuff online already. The great YouTube channel and EV content creator, Misko Electric. Lacey's done a lot of stuff around Nissan. She works with Nissan. She supercharged a Nissan Leaf. One of her shorts this week showed it taking, was it 140, 150 kilowatts, and the pack was half full. That's really, really good. The first variant, designated the B7, starts at $34,000 equivalent in Japan, coming down to $28,000 equivalent, with about 4 million yen off with government subsidies. Nissan plans lower capacity, lower priced models announced in February. The new Leaf will reach the US soon. I mean, it's already out in the US, as in we've seen the car. And it should be on Europe's roads by early 2026 as well. And when you charge your EVs, it's getting cheaper if you use Ionity. Two new annual subscriptions, Power and Motion, to make ultra-rapid EV charging cost a bit more predictable. Both plans guarantee Ionity's lowest charging rates for 12 months, while customers pay the equivalent of only 10 months of base fees. Pricing is transparent, they say, with no hidden fees, no unexpected charges. Motion 365 subscribers can also upgrade to Power 365. So what do you get? Well, you get a free RFID charging card to put on your key ring, lucky you, and you get 5,000 ultra-rapid chargers, up to 400 kilowatts in 23 European countries to make ultra-rapid charging, they say, more predictable with a new, or two new, subscription, annual subscription tiers. FedEx in Australia is adding 55 EDV, electric delivery vehicles. I almost called them EDVs. That's Rivian's terminology, not FedEx at all, because they're using Fuso eCanters and Mercedes-Benz eSprinters. Rollout begins in Adelaide, expanding to Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane. The eCanter has a range of 200 kilometres per charge. The eSprinter has 1.5 tonnes payload and 264 kilometres of range. This supports FedEx's global goal to decarbonise their fleet. The company called Fuel, F-U-E-L-L, founded by motorcycle racer, entrepreneur, a famous bike guy, Eric Buell, sadly didn't make it. I had a few emails over the years from people who put money down with Fuel saying, what can you do? Can you do a campaign for us? You know, if I do a campaign for Fuel, I'm doing a campaign for Fisker, and then I'm doing a campaign for everybody. And so, you know, I sort of politely said, keep me up to date with your situation. I'll pass on the news, but, you know, I can't become some sort of, you know, campaigning podcast against one particular company, because those people were really upset at not getting what they put their money down for. The company didn't make it, and it's now sold its assets at auction for $170,000 only. The company did produce working prototypes and showed some early promise, but momentum faded after production delays, a shift towards electric bicycles, then a bankruptcy filing last year, and a closure. Heritage Global Partners handled the sale of about 185 lots. There were some trademarks, some IP, prototypes, the website, and other assets. 170 grand is all it was worth. Proceeds will be put towards the $7 million in outstanding debts. And finally, batteries are very important to be safe. But what about if you're trying to cut costs to the absolute bone? Well, 90% of Pakistan's electric two-wheelers rely on lead-acid batteries, which are marketed as graphene upgrades, which weakens the value of EV incentives and risks consumer confidence. The Pakistan Automotive Manufacturers Association is now urging the government to stop channeling subsidies to older technologies, since consumers already pay a premium for EVs. The PAMA director saying that over 90% of e-bikes are using a form of lead-acid cells but coated with a thin graphene layer, which is a deceptive practice and an ineffective modification. Local makers offer no more than 2 years at the most warranty on these lead-acid battery packs for e-bikes versus 5 years or more for a proper lithium-ion battery. The association there alleging some interests in manipulating production and sales data. Subsidies, they say, should be redirected to proper advanced battery technology with enforceable warranties and transparency to ensure safety for e-bike riders. And goodness, that is a hot topic right now, to make sure that everyone who buys an e-bike is getting a decent battery. You've seen so many people buying this, some terrible stuff online, charging them at home, and, you know, bad BMSs and bad chargers and things like that. Look, there's nothing wrong with charging your e-bike battery at home, but there is some danger out there if you're looking to save every last penny and buy from some online unknown seller. So that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National car charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.